Shall I turn off this mic? Charlie, should I turn off this mic?
There we go.
Okay.
I'm going to use this one. Okay. Whatever
we do to avoid feedback. All right. All right. Hello, my name is Kathleen, and I am a grateful member of something. Is not, wait, okay. So are both mics off? This one?
We're not able to hear very well.
Okay, there we go. Okay, my name is Kathleen. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, even though this is a group that I never aspired to belong to. And I am so grateful that Lois and the founders of Al-Anon did the work necessary to create this wonderful organization, because we have a special experience with alcohol. At meetings, when we study the how Al-Anon works, and when I hear people talk, I think, oh my gosh, this is my story. And there's so many things where it's just, this is my story. And we have a very similar story, even though they are different stories. So I feel like there's two types of Al-Anons. There are the kind who did not grow up in an alcoholic household, and those who did. And I don't know that there's anything in between. So I did not grow up in an alcoholic household. And so I was, when I finally made my way to Al-Anon, I expressed to my sponsor that, no, there was really no alcoholism in my family. And she said, why don't you go back and talk to your family about that? Go back and talk to your parents about that. And it turns out that my dad said that from his stories that his grandfather was probably an alcoholic. And then he started talking about his uncles. And I know that my father was the youngest of four. He had four older sisters. They all married alcoholics. My dad was the only one who did not marry an alcoholic, which means, unfortunately, that I had many alcoholic cousins. And my cousins would, I had some cousins who died in car accidents at 2 o'clock in the morning after the bars closed. And, or else I killed people at 2 o'clock in the morning after the bars closed in their cars. So this was all kind of a revelation to me. There was also a culture of family secrets that did not revolve around alcoholism, but I think it affected everybody. And I don't need to go into that, but it was there. So, but on my mom's side, I haven't found anybody who is really an alcoholic, but on my dad's side, yes, very much, lots and lots of it. And as I was growing up, I always felt like I wasn't good enough. That one of the first things that happened to me when I was about 2 years old is I was out running around and some kids came along and pulled my diapers down. And my decision was, I'm not good enough, or else they wouldn't have done that to me. Because it was pretty humiliating, even for a two-year-old. I had a lot of pride, still do. And so I kind of lived my life in that I'm not good enough mindset. So I met my first alcoholic husband at church. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but the night before we got married, we were living together. He went into a complete alcoholic rage at me, complete alcoholic rage. I was so surprised. I was so stunned. And I thought, oh my gosh, my parents are here. People have given me gifts. we're going to church in the morning, and you know, I guess I have to go through with this. And we got up in the morning. I said, "Why did you yell at me?" He goes, "What are you talking about?" He didn't remember any of it. And once we were married, this was my experience about once a month, he would do this. And the next morning, he wouldn't remember any of it. And to make a sad story short, it lasted about 2 years. I couldn't stand it anymore. And I had to, you know, we split up. And so I went off and I got some money from the divorce. We had bought a house in San Francisco. And when we divorced, we sold the house and split the money. And so I got to go do some things that I'd always wanted to do. And one of them is I took up scuba diving. And I got to go. I had wanted to be a scuba diver since I saw Lloyd Bridges in Sea Hunt when I was 8 years old on the little black and white television. It's like, I'm going to do that. That just is too much fun. So I did a lot of other things and had fun. I met this really cute guy on the bus going to a going on a dive trip and so we started to date, and he stopped drinking 2 years after I met him, and so that was fine. I thought, okay, we can go ahead with this. And so then we got married, and then 3 years later, he started drinking again, and he drank for 13 years. And even though we didn't have the blackout, he was still pretty mean. And I guess kept thinking, I'm not good enough. I guess I deserve this, or else it wouldn't be happening to me. And I complained a lot. I complained. It was, and people got sick of hearing me complain. They were just thinking, well, you know, if he's so bad, just get rid of him. You know, really, Kathleen, come on. And then somebody suggested I go to Al-Anon. And so I looked up Al-Anon and looked up an Alateen meeting, and we went to a meeting somewhere down here. But the Alateen meeting wasn't going on, so I took him into the Al-Anon meeting with me. And people were complaining about how this guy was saying how his wife wouldn't continue paying for his medical insurance, and somebody else wasn't getting on SSI. And these people are complaining. It's like, what's wrong with you? I mean, this is not who I want to. I don't even want my kid in the same room with you. What are you doing? So we left, and it was about 5 years before I went back. And meanwhile, I'm complaining and I'm unhappy. And it was tough stuff. So finally, my second alcoholic husband fell off. I think he fell off a bar stool and landed on his head. In my fantasy, he went like this, and just off he went, you know. And so he was in the hospital. And one of my friends said, don't let him come home till he gets into recovery. Don't let him get into rehab. And so I went to an Al-Anon meeting, and Ace's wife, Ellie, was there, and she made some comment about CFR and, you know, how you're not supposed to do crosstalk in the meetings. And I'm going, oh, she better not leave before I get to talk to her. So immediately after I went up to her, I said, what's CFR? What's CFR? And so she goes, well, Center for Recovery. Oh, where's that? I mean, really, I knew nothing. And so the next day, they were getting ready to release him. And I said, well, you know, we'll get in the truck and we're going to go over to CFR. We're not going home. We're not passing go. And so that's what happened. And he was in an outpatient program, which was good because we couldn't really afford for him not to work. And this time it finally took. And I got a program. I got a sponsor. And one of the things that I realized in this meeting, And I think I like the fourth concept for this month when it says, I don't know, sharing is the harmony or blah, blah, blah. And I realized that when I would share in the meeting, that it took the charge, the emotional charge off what I was experiencing. It was kind of nervous for me to be going to the meeting because I felt like I was so angry. I was so angry. We went to a counselor for a little while, and she made some kind of funny comment like, oh, poor you, not to me. Oh, poor you. This is really hard for you, something like that. And I was so mad. I remember going home and getting on the ground and kicking and screaming. I was all by myself. And I just got down and screamed at the unfairness of it, of the abuse. And so I got up and I made a call. I made a program call. And it was lovely. She said, she just listened to me and she says, you better call the therapist. Call the therapist and tell her what she did was wrong and why you're mad at her. And I was like, oh, I can do that? So I did. And she said, no, I was kidding when I said that. She goes, I didn't mean to hurt you or upset you. So that made me feel better. I was nervous about, I didn't know what would replace my anger because I was so mad. That was all I knew in a way. I was furious all the time. And what I found as I worked with my sponsor and I went to meetings and I shared and I did the service, all of a sudden there was some serenity. It's like, oh, wow. I remember noticing one day going, oh, wow, I'm not furious anymore. I'm not furious right now. My anger has lifted. And it was, I had no idea what would replace it. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful thing. It was like it snuck up on me. My serenity snuck up on me. And I will say that from time to time, fear and anger does return, but I have my program. And I'll just tell you a little story about this because it happens all the time. So a couple of weeks ago, I came home and my husband was doing something on the television, on the internet, and they were talking about poisons. And I ran over there and I go, what's going on? And he turned and I felt like I was looking into the eyes of a wolf who was standing over a freshly killed elk. You know, I mean, it was really bad. And it's like, and so, and immediately I went, since I'm standing in the house of God, I cannot repeat what I said to him. I mean, he got back what he gave me. So, when I was in bed that night, God, my higher power, took me into the room and showed me the screen of what I really said when I went in there. And what I really did was go, what? You know, I was just like, my gosh, we're talking poison and he's listening to this thing. What's going on? I thought maybe he'd been poisoned. He was trying to figure out how to save himself. And like, do I have to take you to the emergency room? And I guess I let loose a little bit. But so I saw the truth of what I had done because my higher power is important to me. And so the next day I apologized. I made an amends because I didn't mean to react that way. But anyway, so this to me was what this program does for me. It allows me to see the truth of my actions and that how I can make my amends. Because when they say you return your to the steps over and over again, it's like it's not a one and done thing with the steps. We all know that, I guess. So that brings me back to my higher power. So I grew up in my father was a pastor of a liberal kind of of a church. And so I grew up with God, and I didn't always get the, I didn't get the concept he was saying of God is everywhere all the time. And I didn't all get that, but I had a lot of, I've had spiritual experiences even as a child. And so I, my higher power was really, and is very close to me. And so during that time when my qualifier was in the hospital that first time, I was going to an Al-Anon meeting over at the Methodist Church in Walnut Creek. And so they were having a meditation time where you can go in and sit down. So I sat down and I meditated and like, oh, what am I going to do about him? And this is, you know, I'm just so, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And the voice said to me, forgive him. And my immediate reaction was, oh, no, not that. There's got to be something else I can do. No, not that. And so I waited for something else to come. And nothing else came. And so I had to work on the forgiveness issue. And it wasn't easy because I was mad at that time. This is before the peace came to me or the serenity came to me, but it really was the message. And having one or two words and have it be soft like that, to me, that's the authenticity of my higher power speaking to me. When my mind gets real agitated and wants to push me in a certain direction and I can't think of anything else and it's agitated, 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 I know that that's my ego. I know that's not my higher power talking to me. And I just have to be able to catch myself so that, and sometimes it's hard, but sometimes I just have to make a decision that I'm going to watch that. And I found it's been helpful to do that. Another thing that Al-Anon does for me recently, another little story. I was at a retreat last week, and with people, we got together almost for the first time in 3 years. And this is a sewing retreat. I say that sewing is one of my superpowers. And so I get together with my tribe, and I've known these people. I've been in this group for 25 years. You know, we've gone from no wrinkles to wrinkles and gray hair now. We've known each other for a long time. And there was a woman in this group who lost her husband within the last year. And she's somebody who was a science teacher, and she was always very articulate and came across as being very intelligent and kind, and I always enjoyed her, and her creativity was inspiring to me. And so she was there, and her hair was all gray, and it had been sort of reddish before. I caught her one night, and she started talking, and she was like this bitter, angry widow. And it was like she was so mad at her dead husband. And she told me some of the things that she said that she gave him permission to be mean to her. You know, oh, whatever you say, you know, you'll always have the last word, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this went on for quite a while. And then I did ask her at some point, well, what do you want your life to be like at the other side of all this? And so I want it to be joyous. And she straightened up. And so that was good. And then on the way to my room, I wanted to gossip about her. I wanted to go and talk to people. Did you talk to Carol? Do you know what she did? And it's like, and all I had to do, I just had to think, in Al-Anon, we don't gossip. And we don't gossip in Al-Anon, and we don't gossip outside of Al-Anon. And I really had to do some mental gymnastics about this, because I desperately wanted to go talk to somebody, these old friends of mine, to go talk about her. And, you know, I just didn't do it. There's this thing that you can do with your jaw like this, where you put your bottom teeth and you lock them into your top teeth. And then you don't, and you just don't say anything. And so I didn't. And being in Al-Anon and hearing this every week, how we don't gossip, or three times a week if you go to three meetings. And so the next day we went into town and did a little shopping, and she wasn't like that. And I kind of, anyway, so we had a good time and it was okay. And nobody else talked about her either, because she's all of our friend. So this is what Al-Anon has done for me, is helped me live a better life in Al-Anon and outside of Al-Anon. And I am so, so grateful for that. I had another story come up to me. Let me see. The higher power, I just, Ace touched on that. I am hoping, and if you're here, I may be preaching to the choir, to have an experience and a relationship with your higher power. It's like the best. It just never, ever, ever lets me down. And the let go and let God, that's really, really very powerful for me. And it's in a way, when I'm trying to sleep and I can't because I'm fussing in my mind over something, if I can just let go and let God, and if I have enough practice, when I do it enough, because sometimes I have to do it every night of the week, all of a sudden it will pop out. Whatever I'm talking about will pop out of my realm. And then I can sleep and I can be healthier. So, the other thing is, I'll tell you, I found that one meeting a week didn't do it for me. And so, especially with the pandemic, I went to five meetings a week for a while, and I did pull back. I'm going to three meetings a week now, and I like that, and I cherish my meetings. I will say that the book, How Al-Anon Works, is just wonderful. And there was a story we read a couple of weeks ago about a woman who was getting ready to commit suicide. And I guess she drank something, or she took some pills or something. And she did it because she knew her kid would be gone, her husband was gone. But suddenly, for some reason, her son came home and found her and took her to the hospital. And I'm thinking, well, that was her higher power. That higher power works through other people. It's not just the voice in your head or my head, that my higher power really does work through other people and other people's wisdom. And I am so grateful for that. And fortunately, my qualifier has been sober and in recovery for 19 years. So I don't have active alcoholism in my family now, in my life now. And I am really, really grateful for that. That is a good thing. During the bad old days, I kept thinking, oh, if he would just stop drinking, everything would be fine. And I found that that wasn't really the truth. That really wasn't how things worked out. And what needed to change was me. I had to figure out, that I have no control over him. I have no control over the alcoholism. And that was the beginning of my serenity. But it didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual thing. And so for people who are living with active alcoholism, I'm sorry. And Al-Anon does have answers for you, that all is not lost, that you are you, and you are good enough, and I am good enough. We are all good enough. And there we go. So how much time do I have? Nobody knows. I don't know that I have a lot more to say. 10 minutes? Nah, I'm going to quit. Okay. But thank you. And I'm hoping in June we'll have a lot of people come, and I appreciate the people who did come tonight. Thank you.